Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are having Funeral Wednesday. And that sounds really morbid, doesn't it? It sounds like...
No, you've never said it like that before, but dang.
I haven't, but that's what it is, man. We got to face the facts. And the reality is the season is over for a couple of teams. We've already gone through. These are the teams we've already dead and buried us. Even if they're technically still in the playoff picture, we don't care because we believe they're sunk for this season. The Jets, the Browns, the Colts, the Giants, the 49ers, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Houston Texans, the Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, and Denver Broncos, who just engaged in one of the worst-looking football games I've ever watched. And then today, we are officially burying the Washington Redskins and the Arizona Cardinals. Any words for these teams before we put them in the ground?
You know, I actually had some faith in Washington
Me
going
too.
Into the year because yeah. – I thought they, you know, they played the Eagles early on. I thought they played them really tight. They looked like two pretty good teams. And every week that Washington was playing somebody, I always thought, no matter who the opponent was, I thought that they had a chance. But the thing with Washington is, I feel like they always have a chance against the good teams, but then they're also right there with the bad teams. And so, like that, I don't think there's a team in the NFL that plays more to their competition like the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a coaching thing or what. And, you know, now we, you know,
there is one team. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, just so you know.
That what?
That play down to their competition is consistently, is the
oh,
more
okay.
consistently
okay.
than Washington.
So, okay. Well,
you've seen that. You've seen the visual evidence. The primetime
yeah.
games, the Colts, the Titans for a while there, and then they did pull away from the Titans. The Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my gosh. The Bengals. I mean, we've seen it a lot. But anyway, I digress. I'm venting.
But no, so, I mean, with Washington, I think they have a lot of good things, but this offseason is going to get really, really interesting for them, obviously, because I think Kirk Cousins is the guy who gives them a chance to win every single week. Whether you think that Kirk Cousins is a quote-unquote mm-hmm. franchise guy or whatever, he's still a guy who, when he's clicking and then offense is doing what they have set out to do, they're able to put some serious points on the board, be explosive on offense, get some dynamic plays, and Kirk Cousins is a free agent coming up this year. And so there's already talks of some divide between him and the locker room, maybe him and the coach. Who knows if he's coming back? Who knows if he wants to come back, even if Washington offers him a good deal? So, I mean, that's where we got to start if we're looking
oh, yeah.
into the future for Washington.
Washington's just royally screwed this up because no, Kirk Cousins is not an elite quarterback, but guess what? Only a couple teams have those. Only a couple teams are getting those. You got to compete without one. And Kirk Cousins is also not a bottom 12 quarterback in the NFL. He's a good quarterback. We've seen it for years now. He's a good quarterback. I'm tired of saying, well, we got to wait and see with Kirk Cousins. The report came out. The Redskins need the next five games to evaluate Kirk Cousins. Why? You've already seen.
Did they say that? Was that real?
Yeah, that was real. The report came out.
Oh, my
what
Lord.
Else do you need? They have not. They failed to lock him up long term.
Lord.
Now they're probably going to lose out on him, and they're going to be stuck with Colt McCoy or Nate Sudfeld. Is Nate Sudfeld still here? That Indiana kid. I don't even know if he's still here. I think they only have two. Are they only have two quarterbacks on this roster? Anyway, it's a train wreck. I just don't understand, like, these teams that, like, Washington, what more do you need? Like, the Rams, even. They give Alec Ogletree this big money, and they won't sign Aaron Donald long-term? Like, what are you doing? He's the best defensive player in the world right now. So those kind of things boggle my mind. Like, what are teams really waiting for here? Because you're not going to get some bar. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to make bank now. Like, because
right.
they waited this long.
Like, it's the whole – dude, I don't – because we've seen both sides of the coin, right? We've seen teams overpay for, I guess let's just say, like, mediocre quarterbacks. You know, like, we've seen that because you never want to not be without a quarterback.
Right.
And so we've seen teams kind of overpay for these guys that really aren't going to bring them a world championship, blah, blah, blah. But And then we tell ourselves, well, that's the nature of the position. You know, if you got a quarterback, you got to keep him around, you know, because it all starts and ends there. And then you have the Washington Redskins, who actually have a quarterback and won't commit to him. Like, what do you have waiting in the wing? Like, do they think they're trading for Andrew Luck? Or, like, what are they doing?
Right. What are you waiting for? Because it's not going to get – like, the chances of it getting better than Kirk Cousins for Washington at 5-7 – they've got the Chargers, Cardinals, Broncos, and Giants left. They could easily win two, maybe three of those games even left on their schedule. They'll probably finish somewhere around 7-9, 8-8. They're going to be picking somewhere in that low to mid-teens, somewhere in that range. The chances of them getting a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins at that point and being interested enough and making that move to get a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins at that point, I just think it's slim. I don't know that it happens, but quarterback clearly could be a need. Baker Mayfield could be there. Jay Gruden's offense. I think Jay Gruden's, and that's the other thing. I think Jay Gruden's a really good head coach. I think Matt Kavanaugh's a really good offensive coordinator. I think they have a good staff. Greg Minuski's a good defensive coordinator. They've definitely been screwed over a little bit. The Sue Cravens thing, I don't know if they saw that coming where he didn't want to play anymore. And then, what's his name? Kyshawn Jarrett, who they drafted in the sixth round, looked like a stud at safety. And then he gets an injury and isn't able to play anymore. And so they've had some of things like that happen with a lot of their picks. I think they've drafted okay, but I don't think that they've had a lot of stars recently either. So,
what year are we into Jay Gruden?
I want to say this was 3 or 4. Let me look.
Because is his contract coming up? I can't remember. I don't know if or did they.
I don't know about that.
I'm saying all that to be like, would they be a team thinking about moving on from their head coach?
I don't think so. He's been there 2014, 15, 16. This was year 4.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's done a really good job. I really do.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But we've seen teams do stupid things before.
Oh, yeah. Dan Snyder's done a lot of stupid things.
For example, botching Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Oh, okay. Now we're back to this.
I think the worst thing they could do would be to fire Gruden because then they lose that staff. And they lose Cousins as well. I think Gruden sticks it out. I think he's going to still be there for a while. But the quarterback becomes a huge need. And they've done some good things. When the offensive line's healthy, it's a really good unit. Morgan Moses, Brandon Scherff on the right side, that's a great unit. Yes, left guard and center, I think they could use some upgrades. I think it's a possibility that they look there for upgrades. But they have capable players there. And Trent Williams is, I think, the best left tackle in the NFL. They still have weapons in the passing game. Josh Dotson has been very inconsistent this season, but the flashes are definitely there. Jamison Crowder's a stud slot. Terrell Pryor's been a disappointment, but I think, yes, an outside receiver is a possibility for this team. Jordan Reed's always hurt, but I feel like they have good depth at tight end. I don't know that that's a major concern. I think the biggest thing is outside receiver on offense, and you wonder, do they think they need a running back? Because we know how, you know how I feel about Samaje Perine. I'm just not sure that.
Yeah, you're wrong about it.
He's actually been pretty good. He's 465 yards. He's averaging 3.7 yards per carry. Let's not get carried away. But
that's fine.
No, yeah, he's been pretty solid. I mean, 465 yards, 125 carries. He's taken over as kind of the workhorse guy. I don't know that they're going to see enough and say, yeah, this is definitely our stud. But they can find a running back sometime in the later rounds. I think offensively, can they get a big playmaking wide receiver down the field if quarterback's not a need? And that could be a big if. That might be one of their focuses. Defensively, this is a hard unit to figure out, isn't it? I thought they'd be horrible against the run. And Matt Ioannidis has played well. They lost John Allen to injury. I think they kind of like their depth. I think they could use another guy on the interior maybe, but I don't know. They definitely have some good players. I wonder if they go to another veteran in free agency. Preston Smith, remember Ryan Kerrigan, Junior Gallette, Ryan Anderson, they drafted in the second round. Still, no one knows why they drafted Ryan Anderson in the second round still. I've watched him a couple times. He's not good at all. He wasn't good in college. He was an okay run defender, point of attack guy. He'd probably be that in the NFL. He can't rush the passer at all. And you already have Preston Smith. You have Ryan Kerrigan.
He just didn't have Ben.
He doesn't have any pass rush moves at all. I'm not a Ryan Anderson fan.
He was kind of just a pure effort guy at Bama.
Yeah, exactly. Not a good athlete and didn't have a lot of traits or skill. But anyway, Trent Murphy's on injured reserve. They have like edge rushers like crazy. Remember, Junior Gallette's having a good season. So they have a ton of guys there. I think they're happy with their inside linebackers. Monte Nicholson's come on at safety. Bashaud Breeland's going to be a free agent, so maybe outside corner, but you know, you have DJ Swearinger and you have Kendall Fuller playing really well in the nickel this season, and I think they've got to be really excited about that. So I think the biggest contract issues for them coming up are what to do with Zach Brown at inside linebacker, and maybe, you know, what to do with Bashaud Breeland in the corner if they pay him. Or to me, honestly, I think Breeland's up and down and inconsistent at times. So I think when I look at Washington's roster, I think I see maybe wide receiver and cornerback being their biggest needs, another outside corner being their biggest needs, maybe going into the offseason.
Think about that.
Unless Fabian Moreau develops as a third rounder. I haven't seen a lot of him this year.
People like Fabian Moreau.
Yeah, I think he had really good upside. UCLA.
He was at the Shrine game, I believe.
Yes.
That I was watching last, that I was at last year. And, you know, people, that's a little bit difficult. I don't want to be too hard on it, but people were saying like, oh, Fabian is a guy who he's one of those guys who you'll hear about it as draft season goes on. There will be players that are at, you know, the NFLPA Bowl or the East-West Shrine Game who say, like, oh, he should have been in a bigger bowl. You know, he shouldn't have been here. He should have been upgraded. Mm-hmm. And I thought Moreau was one of those guys that people kept saying, oh, yeah. I mean, he
big media guys thought he was a first-round talent, a lot of the big media guys.
Yeah, right. Right. And so, I mean, a lot of people were hyped about him. I didn't see a ton of flashes in the 3 days I watched him. But, again, that's just 3 days, kind of random days that you have down here. Mm-hmm. So – I actually liked, oh God, I can't remember his teammate. What was his UCLA teammate's name? Oh man, I'm never gonna remember this. He was a dude who had really good hair, and it wasn't just because he had really good hair.
Oh, was it a linebacker?
No, he was a corner. Oh. It was both of those guys. They were at the East West Shrine game together last year, and I actually, when people were talking about Moreau, I actually liked that guy better. But,
just because of his hair though, or was it?
No. I prefaced that by saying I can't remember his name. I know he had phenomenal hair, and it wasn't just because he had good hair. But anyways, yeah, so that was a lot of pointless details to say that Moreau possibly could work out for him. You know, yeah. He's just a rookie, so who knows? People liked him. Right. But it's kind of just an execution thing with Washington, and I think that's got to be the case with every team that, as we talked about earlier, is a play down to your competition team or whatever you want to call it. Like, if you can hang with anybody, that means you got talent. Mm-hmm. That just means it's just about execution from then on out. You know, it's about the players doing what they need to do, the coaches coming up with the right game plan. I think Washington's pretty talented for the most part. You know, I think they're a top half of the team in the league with talent.
Yeah, I agree.
Something they got to get figured out.
I think some of the, like, Sue Cravens and you losing Chris Thompson to injury and losing Trent Murphy and Jonathan Allen and, you know, Sean Lavau and Spencer Long and the offensive line being banged up, Trent Williams and Morgan Moses and Brandon Scherff have all been hurt this season. So at one point, they all five offensive linemen were hurt and on the injury report. It's really hard for any team in the NFL to kind of go through that and stay successful. But I do think that they've done some good things. I really do. And I think this is a talented team. A lot of what they may need in the draft is going to depend on how they approach free agency, what they decide to do with Bashaud Breeland, what they decide to do with Zach Brown, what they decide to do with Mason Foster, a free agent. You know, those are their two inside linebackers. That could be huge need if they don't re-sign either of them, you know. How are they going to approach Kirk Cousins' situation? I think Terrell Pryor gets moved on from, obviously, but you know, who do they bring in at that spot then? Spencer Long's a free agent. He's been a decent center for them. Do they feel like they can upgrade? Do they bring him back? I think he's a capable starter. I don't think it's a huge need if he comes back. But that's kind of where they're at. If those guys come back, they may not be the best players in the world, but I bet that they don't draft there then at that point if those guys all return. And they probably focus on something like wide receiver. I think getting a big play wide receiver down the field, another guard, quarterback if Cousins were to leave, and you know, those would probably be the top targets, maybe an interior defensive lineman. If those guys leave, suddenly holes open up and you have uncertainty at least at those positions, at least an inside linebacker where they would have a lot of unproven players, I think, there. So that's kind of where the Washington's at. It's going to be hard to anticipate all their needs, but those are some of the ones they could be looking for as they move toward the draft. Arizona's a lot easier, right? This is a team that's got to go get a quarterback.
Yep.
And they're going to be in somewhere in that 8 to 13 range, probably. I don't know. Maybe somewhere in – I think right now they're ninth in the order. But I think they have a couple tough games left on their schedule.
Yeah, it's – you know, for Arizona, I mean, it's nothing more than quarterback because, I mean, let's face it, you lose David Johnson week one, like, what does your season look like from then on out? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Like, you have – because that's the whole thing with the Cardinals. I watched them all year. You know, I watched them play the Bucks. I've looked at their record, and I just think to myself, man, they've got talent here. They've got talent all over the roster. I like what's going on. Why can't the Cardinals just figure this out and win games? And then I go, oh, yeah, David Johnson got hurt week one, which right. means, like, you basically just throw the season out if you're the Cardinals, because with an aging Carson Palmer at quarterback, you don't have a ton of receiving consistent receiving options outside of Larry Fitzgerald, who has somehow found the fountain of youth and is an actual GOAT. You know, you're not going to get anything out of what your original game plan was. So you can never take the most dynamic offensive player on a team, scratch him week one, and expect them to somehow recover. If they do, the coach is brilliant. But right. anything short of that, and you're looking at Arizona State, and I don't know, like, okay, can we just say, is Bruce Arians that bad of a coach? Because it seems like everybody's like, oh, he's out. He's got to be done.
Well, I think they think he's going to retire. That's been talked about.
Oh, I mean, like, okay. Yeah. Cause
I don't know. Do people say he's going to be fired too?
I think Arians is a fine coach. Is he not?
I think he is a good coach. I think that I have some criticisms with him, but I think he's a good head coach, and I don't think you move on from him. Yeah, that would be my – because
especially after a year where you lose your best offensive player in right. week one. You know,
and I think this season he showed more willingness to. And the thing in the past was Arians was never really willing to admit there were things he needed to change in order to enhance his offense. You know, it was always kind of we're going deep, we're stretching the field, we're taking big shots, we're minimally running the football. But even last year and this year, I think he's run the football more, given more opportunities for his backs and taking the load off his quarterbacks a little bit, worked the quick passing game a little bit better. And allowed his team to get some easy completions. But the problem is, when he changed, the talent level dropped off too. John Brown hasn't been the same player he was the first, 2 years of his career.
Sure.
J.J. Yeah. Nelson's been a decent player for them, I think. Jerron Brown's okay, but not, they need a wide receiver, I think. That's, you know, if you're looking for other big needs. The offensive line's completely fallen apart. I mean, you have A.Q. Shipley at center still, Earl Watford at one of the guards. Ayupati's hurt again, and he struggled in pass protection when he's been in there. Alex Boone, brought over from the Vikings. Vikings released him, and Boone came here and, you know, has not been great. Jared Veld here has been a free agent signing that, to be honest, has probably been a disappointment. DJ Humphries is hurt. John Wetzel's been bad as the backup tackle, probably one of the worst tackles in pass protection in the NFL that I've seen this season. So that's, I think, where it becomes complicated, because as Arians started to change and adapt and improve some things, and I still think there are times when I watch Arizona go off play action – and they have like three vertical routes down the field. I'm like, no, like attack the middle of the field, get something quick out, you know, take advantage of sucking up the linebackers, and Arians just can't help himself. He wants to
always... so Dirk Cutter's offense, okay.
They're very similar. Yeah, they're both Air Coryell, a lot of vertical type offenses. So yeah, there are some similarities. And I think the problem with some of those guys sometimes is that you have to balance that out, and that's why I like Todd Haley and what he's done, is because Todd Haley's balanced some of those, okay, we're going to stretch the field vertical concepts, but we're also going to work quick short to intermediate stuff. We can work off play action that way. We're going to still work the screen game. Our backs are check down options underneath and have kind of all those weapons at your disposal as well. So I think Arians has done a better job of improvising than somebody like Cutter may have, but the talent is completely falling apart. I mean, the Cardinals have a bottom-tier offensive line right now. I think offensive tackle is a huge concern for this team, because Humphries hasn't been able to stay healthy, even though I think he's flashed. You know, and I know that's a Florida guy for you, but he's flashed. I loved him coming out. I really think he can still be a good player, but he's been hurt so much that it's hard to anticipate him really developing nicely at this point. So we'll see what Arizona decides to do, but offensive line to me is a big concern. Wide receiver is a big concern, on top of the fact that I think quarterback's a huge worry. I mean, there are people in the Arizona circles, and I've already seen the articles, that think Blaine Gabbert could be the future here. I do not think I don't know what Arians thinks. I don't think Gabbert is like the worst quarterback ever, like people talk about him.
Right,
I definitely don't think that.
But how far is he going to take you?
Right,
that's the thing.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
This is it.
If you're making a change at quarterback, what are you telling your fan base? What are you telling people if the change that you finally make on from Carson Palmer is Blaine Gabbert?
Right.
You know, if you're going to wait this whole time, if you're going to have a guy like Carson Palmer who comes in and he's given you a ton of years, he's been good for him for a while, now he's coming towards the end of his career. When you get the chance to change at quarterback, especially when they're going to have a top 15 pick, how do you possibly justify that? That's insane to me.
And I don't think Arizona will this season, because there was interest last year in quarterback, and now Carson Palmer's just, I mean, the injury situation with Carson Palmer eventually just makes you go, you can't even trust this guy to, even if he's, for some reason, he's bad. I mean, he's 37. Well, he'll be 38, actually, a couple days after Christmas. So you don't know when retirement's on the table for him at this point. I think you've got to go quarterback. To me, this is a situation where they feel comfortable enough with Gabbard and Stanton and whoever might be back there for Arizona, where I think this could be a prime landing spot for Josh Allen, because he fits the offense. Arians won't mind developing somebody a little bit raw that he thinks probably wasn't taught or coached well at another level. He'll see him as somebody that he can mold. Mm-hmm. And I think he probably could re-sign Blaine Gabbert, who's going to be a free agent. Barkley's going to be a free agent as well, and so is Drew Stanton. So all those guys are up for the new contracts. But I think he brings Gabbert back on a couple-year deal, says, here, you're going to be, you know, our veteran kind of guy to lean on until Josh Allen's ready, and then I think they're a prime spot for Josh Allen. If Sam Darnold declares, Josh Allen could slide a little bit further, because I don't think he's going above Rosen or Darnold, and I think Arizona, he could be right.
Lord, I hope he doesn't go that high in general. But
oh, I mean, he shouldn't, no, for sure. But, you know, if we're where we're at now in the draft process, I think we're still anticipating that. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being lower than that, but based on what we hear right now anyway, now it wouldn't surprise me at all for talking about Arizona taking him in the second round. That would be awesome. I mean, for Arizona, you know, the way NFL teams view Allen, that would probably look like a win for them. And if they go that direction, then who do they take in the meantime? I think that wide receiver's got to be a priority, but the offensive line is a travesty, and I'm not sure that you can. I think you might have to go offensive line in free agency and in the draft to be able to fix this unit, because uh-huh. They are rough, and they've got some major issues there and some major holes there. I think the defense is honestly not a bad unit in terms of talent. They need defensive front help, though. I think that the edge players are good when Golden's back in the mix. Reddick's the guy at inside linebacker with Buchanan. They're set there. The secondary, Patrick Peterson, Buda Baker. Tyrann Mathieu is starting to come back on and get back to where he was a little bit. They need another outside corner, and they need defensive line help. I don't know that the Cardinals are that close. I don't, because I don't think they win in the trenches enough on either side of the ball, and that concerns me.
What happened to Robert Kindici, man?
Dude, he landed in a spot where they don't play rookies that much, and they get frustrated with him, I think. And you get in the doghouse if you don't work hard for Arians, 100%. Ask anybody around Pittsburgh. If you don't work hard, and you get in the doghouse. And I think his coaches take on that mentality. And so I don't know how – I mean, obviously, I don't have firsthand knowledge of watching Kindici not try hard or anything like that, but I think – from what we knew of Kindici, him getting discouraged early on because he wasn't playing or maybe wasn't performing up to standard, and then falling off because of that, wouldn't be totally surprising either. So I still think there's a lot of potential there. But I actually had a third-round grade on Kindici coming out. I did not think and it wasn't because of just a character. I did not think he was a very good player at that point. Now, I think he had potential, but I did not think he was a very good football player.
Well, he might have nailed it.
So we'll see what ends up happening with Kindici. But they need defensive line help in the worst way. They have some capable guys, but nobody that's a stud. So both lines, I think, have to be addressed. If they stay away from quarterback for whatever reason early, both lines have to be addressed, in my opinion. And they could be another team that goes after quarterback in free agency, too. Could be an option for them. But I don't think Arizona's that close. I don't. I think they need to make a lot of moves and a lot of deals to get closer. And I really like Steve Keim as a GM, but they've made some mistakes too, and I think it could cost them.
Anytime you're losing in both the trenches, you've made bad moves as a GM. That's kind of the thing with Jason Light down here in Tampa Bay. I mean, like I like Light's eye for talent, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason, I mean, I understand some of the moves that he made, betting on certain players here and there. But like again, I think we've had this conversation before. You don't necessarily want to be putting a lot of your chips into bet. Mm-hmm. On the trenches, like you want to already have that money, like in hand, like in pocket with the right. trenches. You don't want to be. You sign a pass rusher who's coming off injury to be a compliment guy, and if he's a home run, he's a home run. But instead, it's like, the Bucs and the Cardinals are kind of in the same situation where they've signed these free agents. They've leaned on guys who have been injury prone, and like sometimes it'll really come back to bite you if you try to bet too much in one area on a trench. And so, I think I'm with you there with Arizona, just because I'm seeing a similar thing with Tampa. You can, you can have a good eye for talent, and you can be a good GM, but you gotta prioritize the strong parts of football.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, the lines and quarterback and corner, I think, to be honest. Those would be my major priorities. And then, you know, depending on the offense, your wide receiver, and you know, you build out from there. And then they're all important, but I think those are the big ones. Those are the ones you got to build around. So, yeah, Arizona definitely with question marks there. So I think Washington's closer than Arizona, but if both teams have quarterback concerns, it might not make any difference, to be honest. Both teams are going to – the NFC is so loaded that both teams could be in trouble next year. I don't see a quick – necessarily – like, I liked Washington going into this year, but I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, and I don't know that I'll pick them again next year. So we'll see what direction both teams move in. But as for 2017, they are officially dead and buried to us. We continue this segment every Wednesday, and we look at Senior Bowl prospects on Tuesdays. Thursday, tomorrow, we're going to have to take ahead and a quick peek at the NFL games because you won't be around for Friday's episode. But I will have Kent Lee Plott on. He does some amazing mock draft work, dude. I hope you get a chance to listen to this episode on Friday because he does some amazing mock draft work. He has charted and kept track of over 200 mock drafts. Via spreadsheet, the pick, the player, the team that he went to, how common is it to see this player with this team matched up, how high on average does this player tend to go, and he's going to continue to do that with mock drafts throughout the process. So some of the information he's going to give us is just really cool, and I'm really excited to talk to him. So that's what we have lined up the rest of the week. And then early next week, we've got a lot to talk about with the bowl games coming up, and we're getting into holiday season, and that always means bowl season as well. So tons of matchups, and it's a big time of the scouting season, for me anyway, where I get started on a lot of these prospects. So good stuff lined up on the show as always. Until next time, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.